We're not going to start there, but eventually we'll get to Luke chapter 11. I wanted to talk to you tonight about prayer. And you know, I've read a lot of books and articles on prayer through the years. I've preached a lot of messages on prayer. And I've heard messages on prayer as well. And I'm telling you, I'm often discouraged as a result of it, because I just don't feel like I match up to what I ought to be. And you know what I've found? I found that there's many people that are newly saved that are very uncomfortable praying like we do on a Wednesday night, because they don't think that they pray well enough. They're self-conscious about their prayers in front of others. Let me give you something that might help you. The fact is, most of us aren't good at praying. We may sound like it, but most of us aren't really good at praying. And that includes spiritual leaders, you know, such as myself. And prayer is a real gauge or thermometer in our lives. It reveals a lot of things about us. Prayer reveals a level of hypocrisy. Prayer is like this. If we're not praying, then we don't fully believe in what we say we believe, what we tell others that we believe, if we're not praying. And I just want you to know tonight that what I have to say about prayer is I'm speaking as a failure myself in this area of prayer. And I want this to be something that would be a means whereby your prayer life would be refreshed. Okay? I hope it'll be helpful in that way. So let's just pause a moment and pray right now. Heavenly Father, we need you. Help us to pray. Teach us how to pray. Make this a time that's profitable, that it wouldn't be discouraging to us, but rather encourage us as we talk about prayer for a few minutes here. And I ask that it would be refreshing, that it would have that refreshing effect upon our prayer life. Thank you so much that you know us as you do, and yet you love us as you do. We're grateful for that. We're looking to you for help now. In Jesus' name, we ask it. I think some of the confusion really lies in not understanding what prayer really is. I think that's a big part of the problem. It's easy to think of prayer as something you have to do, you know, because it is something that God wants us to do. And so it's easy to look at prayer as a task, as something that you got to do every day. And as soon as you get it done, you can check it off your list. And I think that's a very wrong way to look at prayer. Because then prayer becomes mechanical. Prayer becomes a burdensome duty that we have to perform. And so we're just looking for practical tips on how to improve your praying. And that's not what prayer is. Don't think of prayer primarily as a task. Think of prayer as that which requires your trust. I think that prayer is the primary way, the main way that we express our trust in the Lord, our dependency on the Lord. And so I would say that prayerlessness, being prayerless, is an expression of self-dependence. It's a trusting in the flesh. Not praying is being faithless. It's saying, I don't really need God all that much. So prayer is an expression of God-dependence. It's the way that we show that we are dependent upon the Lord and not ourselves. But let me say this. So many times I function independent of God. That is, not depending upon Him so much of the time. Which leads me to say this. We're all a mess. All human beings are in the same boat. And we're all a mess, regardless of how many years we've been saved, how long we've been believers, we're a mess. And really, our prayer life shows who we really are. Our prayer life shows how much we really, deep down in our heart, want fellowship with the Lord. Our prayer life shows how much we truly are depending on God. Our prayer life reveals our level of spirituality, whether we are in infancy or maturity. Our prayer life really shows this. I would go around this congregation tonight, and I bet every one of you would say, I love God. And I believe it. But our prayer life shows the amount of which we love God. How much we love God. Our prayer life reveals that. You're not alone if you have problems with prayerlessness. Prayerlessness is common to human beings because naturally we tend to depend upon ourselves. We tend to depend upon self unless we don't think we can handle it. And then we turn to God. And so it's the main trait of human nature. I often, as I said, have been discouraged by hearing about other people's prayer lives. You know, the ones that you read about, men and women that got up at 4 a.m. and prayed for 3 hours, you know, before breakfast. That's not me. I have never been able to live up to that. And so I've been discouraged at times about... I remember reading a long time ago about the reformer Martin Luther. There is a saying, I don't know where it came from, but there is a saying that Martin Luther said, I have so much to do today that I must spend the first 2 hours in prayer. Recently, I came upon a quote by Martin Luther. I want to read it to you. You ready? Quote, this is a letter that he wrote to one of his understudies, a man who was seeking to learn from Luther. His name was Philip Melanchthon. And here's what he wrote to Philip. He said, quote, you extol me so much. Your high opinion of me shames me and tortures me, since, unfortunately, I sit here like a fool and hardened in leisure, praying little. I don't sigh for the church of God. In short, I should be ardent in spirit, but I'm ardent in the flesh, in lust, laziness, leisure, and sleepiness. Already 8 days have passed in which I've written nothing, in which I've not prayed or studied, and this is partly because of temptation of the flesh and partly because I'm tortured by other burdens, unquote. Now, there's an honest picture of Martin Luther. And guess what? He was a mess too, just like all of us. And yet he was a great man. He's revered in church history for what he accomplished. Let's talk about a method of praying. So I've had you turn to Luke chapter 11. And I've already said that I believe that prayer is the primary, the main way that we express our dependence on God. Our faith in Him. That's what dependence is. It's faith. Now let me ask you a question. According to Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, how is faith built? How does faith increase? How does faith grow? How does faith become strengthened according to that verse? Faith cometh by hearing what? The Word of God, the Bible. And so I want you to understand this, that since prayer is the main way that we express our faith, our dependence on God, then prayer is birthed by this book, by the Bible. And I think that in reading the Scripture and the Holy Spirit opening your eyes in the Scripture to something that grips you, that grabs hold of you, that you understand and it speaks to you personally. What's to happen then is you're to take that and to turn that verse or that passage into a prayer. For example, Paul prayed for the Ephesians that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, that they would know, that they would have a knowledge given them. And why can't you read that and say, Lord, that's what I want you to do for me. I want you to open the understanding of my heart. This is what prayer is. It is your eyes being opened, and when God opens your eyes, He does it through the Scripture, He opens your eyes, and that draws you in a fresh new way to want God. When God connects with you in the Bible, do you read your Bible and ever have God connect with you? I had a young man tell me just recently that there was a problem in his life, a sin in his life that was causing him to feel awful, and he felt guilty about it, and he got it right with God and with someone else that he had sinned against. And he said, after that, I just felt so good. And he said, I said to God, God, I want to hear from you. He felt like he could hear from God now, I guess. He said, I want to hear from you. I want you to speak to me. And so he said, I didn't know where to turn in my Bible to begin to read, but I knew that God spoke to me through the Bible. If He was going to speak to me, it'd be through the Bible. So I began to just read the Bible, and God spoke to my heart. God connected with me. God, I knew it was the Lord. And he said, I'd never had that happen before. And this person was so excited by that. That's what I'm talking about. God speaks to you from the Bible, and that draws you to want God in a fresh way. And then prayer is just the articulation of your heart responding to what God has shown you about Himself. In Luke chapter 11 and the first verse, it says, it came to pass that as He, Jesus, was praying in a certain place, when He ceased, when He ended His prayer, one of his disciples said to Him, Lord, teach us to pray. He's the model, isn't He, when it comes to prayer. If you want to pray like Jesus, what you're going to find is that everything that Jesus did, including prayer, He depended upon His Heavenly Father. He said He did nothing of Himself. Everything He did, everything He said, including His prayer, was the result of His connection with His Heavenly Father. So when this disciple says, Lord, teach us to pray, if you're going to pray like Jesus, you have to always depend upon your Heavenly Father, like He did. all of his prayer flowed from the loving fellowship that he had with his Heavenly Father that he had enjoyed for all eternity. And prayer is simply learning to enjoy the kind of fellowship with the Heavenly Father that Jesus always enjoyed. Notice his response to this request, beginning in verse 2. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven. Our Father. When you pray, the first known name ought to be Father. And, of course, that's the relationship that Jesus has with His Father. And that's the relationship that He shares with us. He's saying, the way that I look at my Father in heaven is how you should look at your Father. I want you to share the relationship that I have with the Heavenly Father. I want you to have that same relationship with Him too. Father. I always put on a disclaimer when I talk about God as the Heavenly Father, because I know that that doesn't always conjure up a nice thought when you use that word Father and you have memories of an earthly father that is totally unlike this Heavenly Father. The word Father here, God is the model Father. And He is an open arm Father. He is Abba. We sang the song Abba Father. Guess where that comes from? That comes from the Bible. The Bible says when you pray, pray Abba. That's Papa. That's a childlike term of endearment for Daddy, for Father, Daddy or Papa. When you pray, call Him Papa. See Him as an open-armed Papa who is delighting to hear you and help you. In fact, you know one thing about children? They don't take no for an answer. They keep pulling on you and say, when are you going to do this? You know. You tell them, we're going to go to the park and we're going to have fun there. They're coming to you every 5 minutes. When are we going? When are we going? When are we going? When is this going to happen? That's the picture. God wants us to do that. Look at what He says going on, verse 5. Which of you shall have a friend that shall go to him at midnight and say, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey is come unto me, and I have nothing to set before him. And from within shall answer and say, Don't trouble me. Trouble me not. The door is shut. My children are with me in bed. I can't come and give you. I say, though he will not give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity. That word means persistence. His continual coming and knocking and asking. Because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, verse 9, ask, it shall be given you. Seek, ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Okay? What's he saying? He's saying, I'm not like that guy. I am an open-armed papa that hears and helps. But I want you to keep asking me. Like a little child, I want you to keep pulling on my shirt, so to speak. I want you to keep on asking. That's the tense of that verb. Ask, seek, knock, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. It's not because I don't want to help you, but I want you to depend upon me. See? So when you pray, you're meeting with a person. And that's the kind of person you're meeting with, an open-armed daddy. And so prayer is not something that makes you more acceptable to God. You're as accepted with God as you'll ever be. But it makes you more appreciative of God. So, don't focus on prayer as an activity, but focus on prayer as this kind of person that you're coming to, Abba, who constantly has His arms open to welcome you. And then look at verse 11. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if he ask an egg, will he give him offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? You're coming to a person who is going to give you all the provision that you need. Hey, even us sinful dads, when our kids are hungry and ask us for something to eat, we don't hand them a vial of anthrax. How much more willing, he says, is your heavenly Father to not only give good things to you, but to give you the Holy Spirit's enablement as is needed. That's what he's saying. So pray. Keep on praying. Keep on asking. Pray more. You know, prayer is fellowship with this God. Prayer is this God dependence, and it takes a lot of forms. You know, sometimes we're thrown off by the phrase, pray without ceasing. In other words, don't stop praying. Don't ever stop praying. You know what? That's the normal Christian life, is to never stop praying. Prayer is not something that you fit into your already crammed schedule, but prayer is, it's all that flows from your connection to your Heavenly Father. When you know that your day belongs to God and not to you, and you connect to Him, you'll find that prayer will naturally fill in your whole day, that you will intuitively pray through the day more and more. You'll pray while you're getting ready in the morning. You'll pray while you're driving. You'll pray while you're working. You'll pray while you're witnessing. You'll pray while you're studying. You'll pray while whatever, while you're shopping. You see, that's what prayer is. That's what it means to pray without ceasing. You'll pray for a parking spot. You'll pray for wisdom when someone asks you a question about the Lord or the Bible and you don't know. You'll ask the Lord to give you wisdom, to remind you. And so that's really what prayer is. But also relationships, and that's what prayer is. It's relationship. Relationships only grow when you give the people that you're having that you're in a relationship with quality time. And so while prayer is, it's all part of your whole day, there's quality time when you talk with God too. And then I would say this. Again, prayer is like a needy child coming to a father. And that's what the Christian life is. It's asking and receiving and depending upon the Lord. And when we're not needy, guess what? We don't pray. You know why we're prayerless? Because we don't see ourselves as needy. We don't think we really need God. That's practical atheism, is really what that is. But the more that you grow in the Lord, the less self-sufficient you'll be, and the more needy you'll feel. And so prayer is simply enjoying the caring power of the Heavenly Father, and it's just the opposite of flesh dependence, of self-dependence. Now, one final thing, and that is the role the Holy Spirit plays in prayer. The role that the Holy Spirit fills in this matter of prayer. The Holy Spirit, He's God, and He's the one that really enables us to pray. You know what He does? He stirs us to pray. You know what happens often? I get busy working in my study, and don't have that quality time of prayer, and the Holy Spirit is nudging me and saying, you need to pause and stop here and pray. And time goes on. When are you going to pray? And finally, I do. You see, it's the Holy Spirit that stirs us to want fellowship with the Heavenly Father. That's what happened in Jesus' life. In his earthly life, the Father stirred him and then he prayed. Or rather, the Holy Spirit stirred him and he prayed. Luke 10:21, for example. And now the Holy Spirit does the same for us as believers. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And I want you to see these verses. Romans 8 says, verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry," what? Papa. We cry, Papa, Father. "The Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." And then drop down to verse 26. "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself maketh intercession," that is, He prays for us, "with groanings which cannot be uttered," in untranslatable language, in language that can't be verbalized. The Spirit prays in us, for us. "And he that searcheth the hearts," that's God, "knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit," because he's God, "because he maketh intercession," or prays for us, the saints, believers, "according to the will of God." You see how the Holy Spirit works? Really, what those verses are telling us, that in prayer, God speaks through you to God. Wow. In prayer, God speaks to God through you. That's what it means to pray in the Spirit. And then think of the other things that God does through. When you depend upon God in prayer, He brings you in to share all of His purposes. You remember that famous verse in Matthew 9 where Jesus looks on the He looks out on the people and He sees them as sheep scattered, and His heart is moved with compassion, it says. And He says, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." And then what does He tell them? He says, "Pray, you guys pray the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into the harvest." Question. Why doesn't He just pray? Don't you think His prayers would be more effective than your prayers? No. He is praying. But He wants us to join Him in prayer. Why? Because He wants us to be co-workers. He wants us to share His love and compassion for the world by joining Him in prayer as co-workers on His redemptive plan. He wants us to share in it. The Holy Spirit stirs up love for each other when we pray together. We're a family. We're the Father's family. When we pray like we do together on a Wednesday night, that builds unity in us. We're bearing one another's burdens. We're brothers and sisters, and we share love for one another. And I think about that verse in Acts 1:14, where they're praying in the upper room, and they're of one mind and one accord. In other words, their hearts are united. And that's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 19. "If just two of you agree on earth touching anything, it will be done for them." So the Holy Spirit unites our heart to get the will of God done. That's how it happens. So I hope this encourages you to pray. And prayer is simply, I believe, one of the greatest evidences of a God-dependent life. If we don't pray, we're not depending on God. And He is a willing and kind Papa. And He wants to hear us, and He wants to bless us. And all that is made possible because Jesus, you know who He is, Jesus? He's your elder brother if you're a believer. That's what Hebrews 2:11 says. He's your big brother. And He Himself, your big brother, has made a way for you to come into the Father's throne room by His sacrifice and the shedding of His blood. So I want to close with a question. Bow your head. Close your eyes.